This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Hey there, and good morning, and welcome to The Garden Show. I'm like the little cutting that has a little bit of that growth hormone dabbled at the bottom of it to try and propagate. My name's Dean Holland, and it is my pleasure to welcome, of course, the guru of the garden. Yeah, Charlie Dobbin. How are you, Charlie?
Good morning, Dean. I'm great. How are you?
I'm well. We've had a bit of the white stuff this week for sure. Most of it is gone, but actually all of it is gone, but it still hung on because we were sitting right around the zero mark.
Wow. So you had like real snow?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, we had some real snow. And then again, because it was sitting around the zero mark, it tends to hang around for a day or so, but we're sitting just a couple degrees above zero now. So it's gone. It's supposed to get up to about 5 up here today.
So tell us where you are, because we're all curious.
Yeah, so I've lived in the Collingwood area. I've lived in Collingwood since 2003. So I'm here just the south end of Collingwood, and about 10 minutes from the border of Gray County, which is then from Blue Mountain. Yeah.
Nice. Wow.
Ski country.
Cool. So I too am... broadcasting live and direct, not from Liberty Village, but from my home studio in Prince Edward County. So we're very fortunate, the two of us. We are in beautiful, beautiful locations. But I'm just going to tell you something. You have a job. Can you do your job?
I do. I'm going to do my job. Yeah. we would like you. Of course, we want people to start calling. The phone numbers. If you are in Toronto, you need to call 416-360-0740 or anywhere in the province. And that's a toll-free call. And that's 1-866-740-4740. And of course, the mantra that we've had for many years, of course, call early, call often, and one question per call, please. And of course, let Carlos know if you are a first-time caller, because of course, we have the garden wings, right? Make sure that we send those out as well.
The bell that gives you your garden wings when you make that call.
You got it.
Hey, listen, I have a quick update or an announcement to share with everybody. I am speaking this coming Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So that's Tuesday, November 23rd. And it's a super timely topic. My topic is gardening in a changing climate, or it's actually how to garden better in a changing climate. I am sponsored by the Canadian Rose Society. Open to anybody who would like to attend a Zoom presentation Tuesday at 7 p.m. So if you'd like to get in on this timely presentation, the email to ask for the Zoom connection is CRS. So CRS for Canadian Rose Society, registrar@bell.net.
Fabulous. Fabulous. I'm looking forward to being there too. I have over the years tried to grow some roses, especially when we were living in Hamilton, which is originally where my wife and I are from. We had some great success with roses, but not as much up here in Collingwood. Is just because the slightly different climate?
A few things. It's definitely slightly cooler climate. You know what you need? You need to grow roses that are grown on their own roots. So that would be like, there's a whole series of roses. Actually, the number one world selling rose is called a knockout rose. So like knock, knock.
Okay. Yeah.
See if you can get a hold of a knockout rose in the spring. They come with red flowers, double red flowers, pink, like a light pink, a dark pink. There's a number of colors there. Some are single, some are doubles. Very nice roses, but full sun, full sun, fertile, well-drained soil.
Okay. Am I remembering correctly if I said that I used to have a Floribunda rose?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
So Floribundas are like the sweetheart roses. So each branch on a Floribunda grows with a stem and multi little buds and blooms on that one branch. Okay. So when you, they're called sweetheart roses because, you know, one cane or stem has multi beautiful little flowers all on it.
Great. I know it just, we're going to have to go to our first break very shortly, but before the end of the show, I have to ask you about my clematis that I transplanted earlier this in the spring. I transplanted it because it really wasn't doing much. We inherited it, 11 years ago when we bought the residence that we're in, and it never really did a lot. And I remember my grandmother's clematis is being fabulous. So I transplanted it maybe in the wrong place.
We can talk more about your clematis. Sorry to put you on that. Clema. Yeah. Clematis is clema from the Greek to climb.
Clematis. Okay. Right now we have to climb into our first break, though. Okay. And then when we come back, we'll have some questions.
Excellent.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Hey, Charlie, we are back, and we have Teresa on the line from Mississauga. How you doing there, Teresa?
Well, fine, thank you. How are you? Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a quick question. I'd like to transfer a rose bush from one end of my garden to another. Is it a good time to do it now or in the spring?
It's a little late now to do it, Teresa. This wouldn't be the optimal time. When we're going to transplant, particularly something important like a rose, we try to do that transplanting about 6 weeks before the first hard frost. Now, at my house, we got a hard frost last night. So the problem with transplanting now is the rose will not get any roots growing after you do the transplanting, and it may suffer as a result. So instead, wait till next spring if you can, early spring, not when the ground is all mucky and mushy. Wait till the ground is thawed and a little bit dried out, and then do your transplanting then, or wait till next September.
Okay, so I'll do it in the spring. Okay, very good. Thank you so much. Have a nice day.
Thanks for calling.
Great. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Teresa.
Bye-bye.
You know what? We can go. We have another caller waiting. So why don't we go and let's talk to Susan. We got Susan from Burlington. How are you this morning, Susan?
I'm good. No frost here. I'm in Burlington.
No frost there yet. And no white stuff.
All kinds of crazy stuff.
Nice. What's going on in your garden?
Well, I've been doing the garden cleanup. I'm a little behind, but I was cutting hostas off and just, you know, cleaning everything up. And I came across a patch of, it looked like someone had sprayed some kind of white foam. I had to peel it off. It's almost like a plasticky, foamy stuff on top of the soil, and it does permeate a little bit down into the soil.
Mm-hmm. You know what that is? You're not going to like the sounds of this.
I didn't like finding it.
Does it kind of look like somebody vomited on the surface of the soil?
Well, except it's pure white, and it's got almost a stretchiness to it almost when you peel it up. Like it seriously looks like somebody put spray foam insulation. But I know that has not happened. It's got to be something organic.
Okay. It is called, like I said, you're not going to like the sounds of this, slime mold.
Slime mold?
Yeah.
Really?
It's okay. Don't worry. It looks disgusting, but it won't hurt anything. It's funny. I looked out my window about a month or so, out my side window, and it was the same kind of thing, except mine was bright orange, like neon orange. And I'm like, what is that? And I went over and I went, oh, I know what that is. But and it will just, it's very common.
Does it have to do with soil pH or anything, or is there something I can do to stop it?
It's got to do with environmental conditions. It will not hurt anything. What'll happen is that white, just leave it alone. It will dry up and it will turn to dust and it will blow away eventually. Like, it won't be there in the spring. It just suddenly will show up, but it's a mold. So it's a fungus. It grows because all the certain things are all in the right place. The obviously the food for the fungus to thrive, to grow quickly. And obviously the temperature, the humidity, all those important things. So it is really quite disgusting looking, but it will not, like I say, it will not hurt anything.
Okay, and so it's not related to, like, overusing mic or anything like that?
Well, you know what? So mics, being mycorrhiza, do you use that consistently or just when you're planting?
Just a little bit this year when I was planting.
So it is possible, I'd have to do further research to know for sure, but it is possible when we're adding fungus to our soil when we're using a product like Mike's or a product like I use called Root Rescue. And so we're adding mycorrhiza. Mycorrhiza is a form of fungus, but it's a very lovely fungus that makes a partnership with the plants. So the roots of the plants and the mycorrhiza have this lovely little teamwork that they get going if they're in the presence of each other, where they feed each other, they support each other. You get more roots in the presence of mycorrhiza, and so you get, you know, better, healthier plants, and you also have the certain amount of nutrient being transferred from the fungus to the roots of the plant. So it's a very positive thing. So it is possible that when we kind of are artificially modifying our soil with this amendment, that it's possible we are encouraging the formation of things like slime molds. But a slime mold, like I said, will not hurt anything. So don't
worry.
Well,
I'm relieved, but thank you very much. At least I know what it is.
Well, and they are often glow in the dark colors, trust me. I think white is slightly unusual. They're usually like orange and green and yellow and really like knock your socks off.
Well, I got lucky.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling, Susan.
The glow-in-the-dark slime mold, it reminds me of one of those 1950s horror films, you know, come on. So.
No, exactly right. Like, it just, that's why I said she's not going to like what I'm going to tell her.
We have to go to a break. Can we do a quick email or no? We'll give the numbers out. You know, yeah, let's make sure you give us a call. 416-360-0740 in Toronto or anywhere in the province of Ontario. 1-866-740-4740. And we would love to hear from you, but we should go to our next break now, and then we'll come back with some more callers, okay?
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Hey there, Charlie. Guess what we have up next? We have a first-time caller. Got Jim from Simcoe. How you doing there, Jim?
Oh, hello there.
Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. I have a question about wildflower seeds. Now, I have some milkweed and some Tithynia torch. I'm wondering, can I plant them at this time of year?
Yes.
Okay. Now, if the seeds that I don't plant now, do they have to be scarified or like winterized?
Stratified, yes.
Oh.
So
how should I do that? Just leave them outside in a bag or something? Or?
Well, you know what I would do, Jim? This is where you have to kind of be Mother Nature. So in nature, milkweed have flowered and gone to seed typically in late August, early September, and they've got those beautiful, they look like little miniature cucumbers, and the pods open up and all the little seeds blow.
Yeah.
So that's I would take, if you've got a sort of a bag of milkweed seeds, I would go out where you hope that they will grow. So obviously open, sunny area where there's, you know, sort of room for them to settle in, seeds to settle in, spend the winter on the surface of the soil, and hopefully grow in the spring. So I would do that now. If you want to hold back some of the seeds, then put them in, grab a clean Ziploc bag, plastic bag.
Okay.
Get clean potting soil, so sterile, never been used, potting mix or peat moss, something that's absolutely sterile. Take the rest of those seeds, pop them into the moist peat potting mix, because you'll put a little bit of moisture in that Ziploc bag.
Okay.
Put the seeds in that moist, zipped up bag into the crisper in your refrigerator and let them have winter in your refrigerator. So by March, you would pull them out of the refrigerator, and then I would start them indoors. You would set up a you know, seed starting situation with them.
Oh, so they're in there for about 4 or 5 months then in the fridge.
Exactly. Yeah, and the fridge is cool enough. They just need that, and that's what stratification is. It's when we provide a temperature diff, like what the seeds need in order to grow. In this case, they need some winter.
Okay. Okay, I think that's what I wanted to know. Well, thank you very much.
Let us know how that works out.
Okay. Appreciate your help. Bye.
Thanks for calling. Well, it's kind of interesting, too, what Jim is talking about, because it was, a week or two ago that I did exactly that. I had collected milkweed seeds from the Royal Botanical Gardens when I was there back in September. We were taping another episode of Healing Gardens, which is a documentary series we've been working on. And I collected some seeds. They were in my garage. I was like, so I went out. I pretended I was like Mother Nature. I just sort of flung the seeds up into the air, watched them blow around, and said, I hope you land in a good spot.
We used to love doing that as kids. They were like one of the greatest things to find.
Exactly.
What time of the year would they spread open like that and start to burst?
Late summer.
Late summer. Yeah. Okay. Yep. Brings back some great memories. Listen, we have to go to Etobicoke. Nice. We have Georgina on the line. Georgina, how are you this morning?
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm sorry. I have hydrangeas, Charlie, and they're gorgeous, but they've been there like for about 30 years, and they come up lovely every year. And I generally cut them right back now in the fall, but I know you've sort of said that it would be better to maybe cut them back in the spring, but they're so just kind of hanging over, and that's really what my problem is. They're so beautiful, but the stems are so tall that the first rain they just fall, and you know, that's the way they stay all summer. And I've seen them where they're a shorter stem. Could I, if I cut another, like in the spring, what do you think that would do it?
How low do you typically cut them when you are cutting them?
I beg your pardon?
How low, how far down do you cut the stems?
Down as I can go. Generally, it's pretty old wood, so I practically go right down to that. But I know last year I didn't. I did partly, and then it got very cold, and I left them. I know that. What does it make that much difference cutting them in the spring or the fall? Because they're really awful looking right now, and they start hanging on the driveway, really.
Absolutely. No, you're right, Georgina. Everybody has a different situation when it comes to when to cut down something like hydrangeas. If many times they look quite nice in the fall, and I like to leave them because the flowers are golden bronze. They hang on all winter. They give us some movement and some ornamental value in the winter. But if they're hanging all over your driveway, absolutely cut them down. My suggestion is cut them right down. Cut them right almost to the ground, like literally as low as you can go. They're not going to look like much all winter, which is fine. When they start to grow in the spring, just cross your fingers that they don't grow super tall. Probably the reason they're getting so tall is because you have a variety called Annabelle hydrangea. And Annabelle is a very old variety of hydrangea, very popular, still sold to this day, but it does tend to be top heavy. So that's why you get that falling over because of the heavy flowers. And so they do tend to be floppy. Their stems are a little bit weak, if you will. There's a newer variety out there, and it's a hydrangea, looks the same to anybody's eye. But the variety is, instead of called Annabelle, it's called Incredible. So incredible, but Incredible. And the flowers are the size of a soccer ball, they say. So that's where Incredible comes from. They are much stronger stems. They will not fall over. So up to you. If, get yourself a little backhoe and
so
dig those out.
They come up absolutely gorgeous in the spring, and big white flowers. And but, you know, like as I say, the first heavy rainfall, they all fall right down. I do stake them up also. I put all stakes mm-hmm. all through them, but doesn't seem to really do that much good. So,
no, because anyway, the stems are weak.
Fine. Thank you very much. I'm not hearing you too clearly, so I hope I haven't missed anything. Oops. But so you feel I could cut them down now? I would prefer to do it in the fall.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay.
Do that. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Great.
You're very welcome.
Thanks very much, Georgina. Hydrangea falling over reminds me of the plight of our peonies so often. You know, you wait all year and then they come down, they come out so beautifully, and then sometimes that rain just flattens them all down.
It invariably, the rain happens the absolute day when the peonies are at their best.
Yeah, just kills me sometimes. Listen, I want to give out the phone numbers again. Please give us a call, 416-360-0740 anywhere in Toronto, or if you are outside Toronto, anywhere in the province of Ontario, 1-866-740-4740, and that is a toll-free call. I actually have an email here that we got from Jane, also regarding her hydrangea. She's in Beamsville, and she was also wondering about cutting them down, the difference being that she has no old wood yet. So she was wondering if she prunes them back, and she was saying, you know, in that first week in November that she had some frost, and she was also asking about compost, you know, what she should put at the base of it for the winter.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you'll notice as well that Jane's email, she gives us the name of her hydrangea, which are called Endless Summer. This was a brand new variety of hydrangea introduced into the market about 15 years ago. The claim to fame of this hydrangea was that it will bloom on new wood, so new growth that comes up in the spring, but also bloom on last year's growth, so old wood and new wood. Now, Endless Summer hydrangeas are not white like the ones we were just talking about with Georgina. Endless Summers are pinks and purples and blues, depending on the pH of your soil. Sometimes Endless Summers can be great when you buy them, when you plant them, beautiful, beautiful flowers, and then they'll be green for a number of years, so they can be a bit frustrating that way. Preparing them for winter, bottom line, Jane, is leave them alone if you can. I particularly where she's living in the Niagara area, as I mentioned to Georgina, I really like leaving the hydrangeas alone in the fall if I can. I like the flowers. I like them hanging on the plants. Mm-hmm. I don't mind them. You know, they will start blowing around the neighborhood at some point, those flowers, but that's okay. And I just leave them alone. And I do all my pruning in the spring, when I start to see the green buds swelling and when the soil is dry enough for me to be walking in my garden. So it might be April by the time I'm doing my cutting back, and I would cut right down. In the case of a fairly newly planted plant like these Endless Summers, what will happen is you get green buds growing randomly on the stems. So next spring, the stems that are there now will be there in the spring. There'll be green buds randomly on the stems. If you cut to the green buds, you're going to have plants of many heights. So you have to come up with the lowest common denominator, take the stems down to green buds, but take it down as far as you have to so that you've got some uniformity in your pruning. And absolutely, organic matter is always a great amendment to any of our garden plants in the spring and or in the fall. So, you shouldn't have to do any protection. She wondered about putting straw and leaves over the plant. Again, she's in the banana belt there down in the Beamsville area. So your Endless Summer should be fine. If you are worried they're in a really windy, exposed spot, then absolutely, sure, you can kick some leaves or put a little bit of straw, a couple inches of straw over the plants, but get that all pulled away in the spring before you do your pruning. All right.
Okay. Charlie, we have Carlos has lined up for us. Shirley from Brampton on the line. How are you this morning, Shirley?
Oh, good morning. I have a plant here. I don't know what it's called. It's a red, shiny leaf with little things sticking out of it. I call it amaranth, but I know that's not right.
You know what it is? It's anthurium.
Okay. Anyway, it's getting too tall. I'm going to have to cut a hole in the ceiling. And I'd like to know if I can cut it back.
Okay, maybe I'm wrong. How tall is it?
It's about 2.5 feet tall.
Shiny red, you're saying leaves, but they're like a heart-shaped,
yes,
shiny
leaf. I call it amaranth, but I know that's not the right name.
Amaranth is a plant. It's a,
But it is a shiny leaf with a little thing sticking out of it.
Yeah, that's what anthurium does. That's actually a flower. It's a bract. That red shiny thing is a colored bract, like a poinsettia does the same thing. And then the protuberance sticking out of the red leaf is actually the flower, called a spathe.
Okay.
Are green leaves as well?
Yes, big green leaves.
Heart-shaped. Too tall.
But it's kind of leaning over, and I have kind of shorted up, but I wondered if I could cut it back a bit.
Well, you can. All the growth on that plant comes from the crown of the plant, and the crown is way down at soil level.
Yes.
So your leaves come from there, and your flowers come from there. It is a plant that you need to turn it. It should be in a light, in a window, preferably east window, close to, not right in a south window or west window. It wants bright light. It doesn't need direct sunlight, but it does need brightness.
It does get the afternoon sun.
Okay, so that's good. And you will turn it because you want the growth to be even on the plant.
Yes.
If you don't turn it, it'll all grow just towards the window.
Yeah, right.
If something's too tall, you get out your sharp pruners and you just follow that stem right down to the crown, which is down at the soil level, and remove whatever's getting too tall.
Oh,
it
okay.
is a plant that likes to be kept moist, too.
Yeah, well, I do, yes. Okay, that's good. I shall try that then.
All right, good luck with
thanks
that.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, Shirley. Okay, I love watching you put your figurative detective cap on, trying to figure out from the verbal description what plant this might be.
Yeah, the best ones are when it's like, I don't know what it's called. It's got green leaves.
Love it. Love it. We have some more callers waiting on the line. Let's go to Thornhill. Kathy, how are you today? Do we have to? Yeah, there we are, Kathy.
Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. So my problem, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay, good. I have a beautiful bromeliad plant I've had for a few years. It's grown two extra plants on either side of the mother plant. I don't know how to separate them, and I'm dying to make the main one flower, and I have no idea how to do it.
Oh, so the main one did flower. It must have flowered already a couple of years ago.
Yes, it did. That's a nice,
so it
beautiful
will. Okay, and the leaves on the mother plant, the main plant, are they're still green, or are they turning yellow and brown?
They're still green. Let me just run up and look at it. They're still green. It looks just very healthy.
Okay.
Yeah, they're all green.
Yeah, okay, it's good. Well, so the way it works with bromeliads, for those of you that have never grown one, it is a member of the same family that pineapples belong to. So the leaves grow in what we would call a rosette shape, which is you look at the top of a pineapple, that's the same way that the leaves grow on a pineapple. And the flowers come from the center.
Right.
It takes a couple of years for the plant to flower. And once it does flower, the flowers last for many months, four, 5 months. The daughter plants that are growing off the side usually form as a result of the mother plant having already flowered. And then the mother plant will die and the daughters will survive. And they can be severed from the mother. But I wouldn't worry about it now. Now is not the time to start messing around with cutting up your bromeliad. Keep it in lots of sun, brightest window that you've got in the house. Keep watering into the top of all three of the plants with room temperature.
I do.
Yep. And don't water every day, obviously, but it's the kind of thing where the plant does not want to ever be fully dried out. So it's native to like Hawaii, right, where it's humid and it rains every day for 15 minutes. So it's that idea of high humidity, warm, moist temperatures, and lots of sun. So I would just be happy with whatever it does this winter. It may start to pop a flower for you later in the winter, because that's when they traditionally bloom, is February, March. And enjoy, but you can sever, turn it into three plants in the spring. And I'll explain how to do that if you want to call back in the spring, and we'll get out our butcher knife and start chopping it up.
Okay. Thank you so much. Okay.
You're very welcome.
Fabulous. Thanks. Thanks, Kathy. Again, our number is 416-360-0740 anywhere in Toronto. Or if you're outside the city of Toronto, anywhere in the province of Ontario, 1-866-740-4740. And that is a toll-free call. We're going to go to a break, but I have a quick joke for you, Charlie. This was passed on to me. I was talking to a musician friend of mine. I've got a concert coming up in December, and he's a guitar player. And he said to me, he says, tell Charlie this for me. He says, with ferns like that, who needs anemones?
Anemones.
Yeah, how's that? so that's from Mike in Toronto.
Thank you. And a quick note for you, Dean.
Yes.
You mentioned your peonies flop. Have you ever heard of peony rings?
Yes, I've seen them. You know what? I don't like the look of them somehow, you know, but yes, I have seen them.
Okay, so what you do, I've even used tomato cages for the same purpose. You just have to get them in the ground in the spring, and then the plants grow up inside, and the plants will cover the rings.
Okay, so I just need to plant them early, and I have to just deal with it in the spring, but then I won't see them.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, leave your peonies where they are. Just put the rings around, like over top of where the peonies are going to grow in the spring, and then you won't see the rings in a couple of weeks.
Gotcha. Okay, so we have to take a break now, but when we come back, a bit of excitement. I get to pull out the garden wings again, because we have a first-time caller, okay?
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, I got to tell you, Charlie, we have lots of callers on the line, so we have to keep moving. And we have a first-time caller from Oshawa. Crystal, how are you?
I'm fine. How's Charlie?
Charlie's great. I have to give you your garden wings first, okay?
Hello, Charlie.
Welcome to the show, Crystal.
I can hardly hear you. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I have a question. I have two rows of Sharon planted in, not last summer, the summer before, and I'm backing on a ravine and don't get lots of sun, but I had lots and lots of buds on both bushes, but they only opened half, like half of the buds actually opened. Now all the leaves are gone, and the buds are still on there, the unopened ones. Now, do I have to cut them back?
Okay, I have a quick question. Are they, you bought these plants, or were they given to you?
No, I planted them. I bought them in the garden center.
And do you remember, are they single flowers or double flowers?
Oh, I don't know. No, I don't remember.
Okay. So do you have to cut them back? Well, next spring, not now, but next spring, it would be a good idea to cut the plant back.
Okay.
If there's any possible, or plants, any possible way you can get them into a situation where they will get 6 hours of sun every day, minimum,
okay,
you're more likely to see those flowers opening in September.
Uh-huh.
If you can't move them, you may find that this is what will happen every year. You'll get half buds. And that can be very frustrating. So try, if you can, just to get them into more light, and that they should be better for you and more ornamental.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll do that. You remember, Charlie, I worked with you at White Rose.
I think I recognize your voice, actually.
Anyway, thank you for your advice, and I will do what you told me to do with them. Okay, thank you so very much.
Oh, good old White Rose, man.
Yeah, how long were you there, Charlie?
Oh, a generation, 18 years.
18 years, wow.
But I did every job in the world, every job that any retail store ever has, I did it. So I did a lot. I worked at the head office. I did marketing. I was in the stores. I was on the road. I was everywhere. But I opened the Oshawa store as the store manager in 1986. So that's probably likely where Crystal worked with me, was in the Oshawa store.
Wow. Wow. Listen, we have Norma on the line. And Norma is from St. Catharines, or I sometimes call it St. Kitts. How are you today, Norma? You there, my dear?
Morning.
Oh, maybe we don't have Norma. Okay. Well, then we'll go to...
I'm here.
Let's go. Oh, you're there, Norma.
Yes.
You're there. How are you?
I'm fine. Coffee. I'm calling in about banking up the roses.
Mm-hmm.
I'm calling in about banking up roses.
Planting roses?
Banking them up for the wintertime.
Yeah, what we call hilling, yes.
That's right. Now, the soil I have, I've taken out of my window boxes and planters. Can I use Miracle-Gro soil?
Yes, you can, because it's already been used by the other plants, right?
Right.
Yeah.
That's perfectly okay.
Yeah, it'll be a bit clumpy, and there'll be some roots in there. So just make sure that you loosen the soil so that it's nice and literally loose before you drop it on top of the roses.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye now.
Okay.
Yeah, bye-bye. I like that. That's recycling at its best.
Yeah, yeah. So banking or hilling? We call it hilling?
Called hilling. So you mentioned something about growing roses up at your place in Collingwood,
yeah.
Dean, and that you hadn't had a lot of luck in Collingwood the way you had back in Hamilton, which is milder climate. So that if there's two kinds of roses out there, one kind is roses that have been grafted or budded onto a rootstock, like the Floribunda you mentioned. They are not growing on their own roots. They are growing on another rose roots, and they need to be hilled. So that's what Norma's talking about. We've had a good hard frost. The roses should have gone dormant now, and now we hill with about, as much as 10 inches or 25 centimeters of a loose earth or chopped up leaves mixed with some loose earth. And the idea is we're just putting some, by putting either the soil or the leaves or praying for snow, which is what you get in Collingwood, consistency, that it's the air. There's all air in between those snowflakes, just like there's air in between the soil particles, helps the roses get through the winter because of our extreme warm and then cold and then, rain and then frost and then, snow and then rain and just the silly winters we have these days. The plants get very confused because they don't stay dormant if it starts raining in January. So by putting that hill around, we keep them as asleep as we possibly can until it really is spring.
Okay. I'm wondering, we get quite the wind off of Georgian Bay, just where I am, and I'm sure other places get, windy spells. If I should maybe put something on top of it to keep that healing there, especially if I'm using leaves.
Well, yes, that's right. Just leaves alone would blow away, but I would put leaves with some soil on top of the leaves just to hold them down. And you're right. I mean, do you find that your snow blows away when you get snow? Like, are you wind swept that way?
Sometimes because we're right at the base of South Georgian Bay, right? So Collingwood is right there. We get a lot of winds from the northwest that tend to whip right across the bay and make it that couple of degrees lower. And so we do get quite the winds, and it can blow things around a bit.
Yeah, and that's where that hill comes in, whether it's on your roses. This year I planted butterfly bush, which I love. Buddleii is the proper name. It's a wonderful butterfly attracting plant that blooms late summer. But I hilled it because I went out there and put, 10 inches of soil over top of the crown of the plant because I want it to survive the winter. And similar to you, it is very windy where I live.
Right. Okay. Listen, we have to take a quick break, but we have more callers on the line. So we'll do that break right now and be back in just a few moments.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Hey, we're back for The Garden Show. And before we get to our next caller, I do want to mention that if you want to send an email to Charlie, you can do that at c.dobbin@mzmedia.com. Okay, so that's another way that that you can get in touch with her. Charlie, I've got on the line from right in Toronto. I've got Elizabeth. How are you this morning, Elizabeth?
Fine, thank you, and good morning. A quick question. I have an amaryllis, two bulbs. I brought in at the beginning of September, put them in the basement, and totally forgot about them until yesterday. Went down, and they're dried out with no leaves, and I wonder if I can resuscitate them and throw them out.
Oh, actually, no. No, no, no. What you've done is perfect. I know, hard to believe, but what you've done is perfect. When you brought them in, Elizabeth, from in September, they had green leaves, obviously,
yes.
Right? Okay.
Yes.
You put them in the dark basement. You haven't watered them. So now just clean up all the yellow leaves and crispy, anything crispy that's lying on the floor or around the plants. And it's now November. I would leave them, just check them, just put on your calendar to go down once a week, minimum, and look at them. Magically, one of those trips to your basement in the next probably 4 weeks, when you go down, the flower, little flower stem is going to have started to grow out of the bulbs.
There's no light in my basement that I could put them in.
They won't be green. They will be white. What grows up will be white. I mean, I guess the other thing would be to ask you is, if you felt the bulbs right now, if you put your fingers around the bulbs and squeezed, they're not like mushy or empty, right? There's got some heft to the bulbs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so don't worry. There's all kinds of energy inside those bulbs. Flowers are going to grow in the dark. But as soon as you start to see a little bit of growth happening, your job is to now take those pots with the bulbs upstairs into the light, into a bright window, and water once thoroughly and allow that plant to start to grow, because it will. It will, in the warmth, the light, the water, it will start to grow, and then you will water as necessary and enjoy, hopefully, lots of flowers and leaves for another 9 months.
So I do water them while they're in the basement now.
No. Do not water
thank you.
Until you take them upstairs.
Yes.
And you'll take them upstairs when you start to see some growth.
Oh, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Relieved.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's magic. Amaryllis are magic. I've got them figured out. It's only taken me 40 years, but I've got them figured out now.
Well, thank you ever so much.
Okay.
Really appreciate it.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thanks so much, Elizabeth. Now, Charlie, amaryllis, those are all the flowers that we're seeing in, like, all the stores now in the boxes, right?
Yeah. Really great Christmas gift.
Yeah, well, you know what? I've been looking at one I want to buy one for my wife, and there's a lot of different varieties, and I'm not sure which direction to go, so maybe you can advise me.
Oh, you're right. There's so many out there. red is the most common one. I think it's called Red Lion. Red Lion.
Yeah.
It's probably the most common, and it's very easy. They're all easy to grow. But if you say, no, red just doesn't go with our decor, or my wife hates red, then, you know, there's pinks and peaches out there. And if you get really fancy, there's all kinds of doubles and semi-doubles, and now there's greens and shades of colors you've never seen in nature.
Fabulous. Can we squeeze in one more call? I've got Diane. I've got Diane on the line from Dorchester. How are you this morning, what? Diane?
Hi, how you doing? I have I have three plants, and when I bought them, they were told that they wouldn't grow real big. Well, this is the third year. Last year, I just took off the dead stems. It's called cat mint, and I got it because I'm allergic to mosquitoes, and so is my grandson. So I put one right beside the sidewalk. Well, this year, I don't know if I should just chop it right off and hope for the best in the spring, because even when we had all the snow and we're trying to shovel on the sidewalk, it's coming over from the snow. It's splitting the plant, like flattening it out, and it's coming right over onto my sidewalk. Should I leave it till the spring and just cut it off then, or should I cut it off now, Charlie? Because all I ever did before was cut out all the dead stems. I never took off anything that was green growth.
Okay, so Diane, what I would do, this is one of those situations where you have to remember, you are the master. The plants do not run the garden, you do. So with that catmint growing over the sidewalk, making it tough for walking, maybe not even safe for some people, and obviously interfering with shoveling or sweeping, get out your pruners today, perfect day to be out there, cut that plant right back down to ground level if you want, or at least cut all the section off that's going out over the sidewalk and leave the other part in the garden if you like. Either way, in the spring, the whole thing should be cut back, right back to the crown of the plant, and it will all grow back from that growing point where you planted it. And it's a great plant. It's beautiful flowers, a very, very friendly plant for pollinators. It's a really supportive plant for pollinator gardens. Okie doke.
Great. Thanks. My goodness, we're at the end of the hour. And I got to run, Charlie, very shortly because I've got some winter fertilizer to put down on my grass.
Good idea. You better get that fertilizer out before winter starts. Yeah. And I've got to run because I've got burlap to wrap some of my cedars in that are in hot, hot sun and wind. And a little winter protection goes a long ways on a couple of my plants. But we have done the fertilizing. We'll say that. The lawn.
Yeah, I'm a little behind, but I'm still, it's going to be 5 today, 7 tomorrow, a bit of rain. I'm still good though.
Yeah, you're good. Definitely. It's perfect today because that rain tomorrow is going to be excellent on that fertilizer. So I feel like we're all a little behind. I don't know what happened this fall. It's just like we've all got long lists of things to do. So thanks a bunch for all the great calls from all our listeners. And thank you, Dean, for being such a great person to chat with on air. Thanks, Carlos, for all your tech support. See you all again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.